Standing with me once again, turning in our Bibles tonight to Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 20. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 20. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. And also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. You may be seated. If you please join me in prayer tonight. Almighty God, once again, we do thank you for this passage of Scripture that is becoming quite familiar to us. I pray that as it is familiar, that we would not tune out the words, but they would become sweeter each week as we study, as we look at these pieces of armor that you have given to us. May your Spirit tonight keep us attentive and alert as we study at this hour of the day, as it is later in the day. Help us to focus on the truth of your word. I pray your Spirit would make it clear to us, and that only your truth would be proclaimed in spite of my weaknesses in proclaiming that truth. We thank you for this armor that you have provided for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So tonight, excuse me, we move on to that second piece of armor, the breastplate of righteousness. Last week we looked at the belt of truth, now the breastplate of righteousness. And we're continuing our way, working our way slowly through this section of God's word, these 11 verses here toward the end of the book of Ephesians in our study of the armor of God. We've also been working on memory works. So tonight we add one more verse to the mix. So Ephesians 6, 10 through 15, if you want to follow along in your Bible, if you want to say it along with me. We do this a couple of times each week to try and remember these words, or at least you humor me as we go through this. But I hope these words and the repetition are becoming more and more familiar to you. So again, we have today Ephesians 6, 10 through 15. So finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. And so we added that one verse into the mix today. So once more, Ephesians 6, 10 through 15. And we kind of do this twice on Sunday night. And it gets a little bit longer, so it gets a little bit harder to get all those words kind of locked into our mind, but we're trying to put this together. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. Now that footwear for your feet, we're going to save that till next week, but we're adding a verse each week to get through all of those 11 verses. Today we're focusing our attention and our thoughts on righteousness. What does it mean to be righteous in God's sight? How can we wear this breastplate of righteousness? Hebrews 12, verse 14 tells us, strive for peace with everyone and for the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. Holiness. Scripture says, be holy as he is holy. So how can we who are unrighteous appear righteous in the sight of God? How can we wear righteousness? How can we wear righteousness as a breastplate? And yet, if we're going to have this piece of armor in place so that we can stand against our enemy, we need righteousness. And yet, I don't know about you, but I'm not all that righteous in myself. Many people today consider themselves righteous, perhaps in their own eyes, a law unto themselves. They justify their behavior by who they are or by what they do. We've been talking about that a little bit in the book of Romans. They create their own standards. But for the Christian, as we look at God's word, we see that God has given us the standard of righteousness and holiness, and that standard is not us. It is based on the truth of God's word. And he sets the standard, he declares what is righteous, and as we need to be reminded, he provides us with this armor. And having put on the breastplate of righteousness, just like that belt of truth, we are not truth in and of ourselves. We don't create truth. We don't manufacture what truth is. God is truth, and it's his truth that we put on. We look to God's word so we know what truth is. He defines truth, and so too with righteousness. This is not something that we manufacture on our own. We have to put on the breastplate of righteousness. This is God's armor, the armor of God. Not the armor of Todd, or insert your name here. We are only strong in him. We stand in the strength of his might. And that standard of righteousness to which we aspire is complete obedience to the law of God, the moral law of God. And as we look at that law in Scripture, we realize we don't measure up to that standard. We don't meet that high criteria. In fact, the law acts as a mirror to show us our unrighteousness. So this breastplate that we put on is not a showing of our righteousness, but it's a showing of Christ's righteousness. Christ's righteousness, which is imputed to us. That is what we put on. Romans 4, verses 6 through 11. Just as David also speaks of the blessing of the one to whom God counts righteousness apart from works, blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord will not count his sin. Is this blessing then only for the circumcised or also for the uncircumcised? For we say that faith was counted to Abraham as righteousness. How then was it counted to him? Was it before or after he had been circumcised? It was not after, but before he was circumcised. He received the sign of circumcision as a seal of the righteousness that he had by faith while he was still uncircumcised. The purpose was to make him the father of all who believe without being circumcised, so that righteousness would be counted to them as well. And Paul speaks of that righteousness that comes by faith and not by works. Or Philippians chapter 3, verse 9. And be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith. Us taking on the righteous character of Christ. This is Christ's righteousness that we stand in, not our own. This is what protects us in this battle. The righteousness of our Savior who fulfilled God's law perfectly. We put on this righteousness so that not only do we stand as forgiven in the eyes of God, but when we are attacked by our enemy, when those deceitful schemes take place, the flaming darts come in and the accusations fly, we can rest secure that we are protected. It is not reputation and our character and our perfection or lack of it that we rest in, but we are resting in Jesus Christ. So we look at God's law and we realize, based on God's word and his truth, that we do not measure up. Our good deeds are but as filthy rags. We are not righteous on our own. But we stand in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And as we do, we also consider the cost of that righteousness. We have been redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. This is indeed costly armor that we wear. This is not a cheap imitation that we wear. Those who are trusting in their own righteousness are seeking a cheap imitation that will not protect them against anything. But we do not do that. We look to Jesus Christ. But as believers, we also know that we have been called to a life of holiness, a life that seeks righteousness, that seeks to follow the standard of truth that we have been given. In our sanctification as believers, we are to live and strive to live righteous and holy lives. So in this war, we have been given much. But we don't just sit around. We don't say, you know, God's got this, so I don't have to do anything. This is a war, and you and I have been called here, as Paul says in this last chapter of Ephesians. We've been called to stand. We've been told to put on, to take up this armor that's been provided for us. We not only rest in the righteousness of Christ, but we are to strive after that righteousness ourselves. In Paul's first letter to the church in Corinth, he tells them in that letter to flee from sexual immorality. In 1 Corinthians 6, verses 18 through 20, he says, "Flee from sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside the body, but the sexually immoral person sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price, so glorify God in your body." Paul there in Corinthians reminds believers that they have been purchased by God, bought with a price, that they are not their own. And because we as believers have been purchased by God, we not only seek to avoid sexual immorality, as Paul is talking about in 1 Corinthians, but we seek to avoid all sin. We are to strive in holiness and righteousness. So I ask you tonight, how is that breastplate in your life? How is that breastplate? How is your sanctification this day? Are you striving to put to death the flesh and to live by the Spirit? That takes action. That takes effort on our part. Are you striving to live a righteous life? William Gurnall in the Christian Complete Armor wrote, "A sanctified person first obeys God, and then out of obedience to his will serves his fellow man." We know that we are to serve God first, obey God first. That's the first four commandments. And then out of obedience to God, we serve our fellow man, the last six commandments. Are we seeking ways that we can serve God and serve others? Or are our lives only focused upon the service to self? Who do you live for? Are you living for God? Seeking to glorify and to enjoy him forever in all that you do 24/7. And as we think of these first two pieces of armor, we realize that both truth and holiness go together. They fit together. Ephesians 1 verse 4, "Even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him." We were chosen to be holy and blameless. Or Ephesians 2 verse 10, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Created for good works, that you and I should walk in those good works. Remember, again, we're speaking of those who are believers in Christ, seeking to live out the Christian life, not in order to earn our salvation, We obey, we strive, we do good works because we are redeemed. Because of Christ's righteousness, we can strive then to live a holy and righteous life. Having put on the breastplate of righteousness, we remember the nature of this battle. We are in a war. We dare not forget that. We are in a war. We have an enemy. We have a battle to fight. We battle sin. We battle an enemy that seeks to destroy us, who wants us to fall into sin, who desires that we would cower in fear, who wants us to be defeated and ashamed and stuck in that rut, stuck in that sin. Proverbs 28 verse 1 says, "The wicked flee when no one pursues, but the righteous are bold as a lion." The wicked flee when no one pursues, but the righteous are bold as a lion. We can stand, and we can be bold because we have God's armor. We have truth. We have righteousness, and we strive to live holy lives. God gives us the boldness that we need so that we can stand firm, stand tall, hold the line and not retreat in the face of this enemy. When those Christians in the book of Acts were being threatened with persecution in those first few chapters of the book of Acts, what did they pray for? They prayed for boldness. Lord, give us boldness. Our enemy prowls around and roars, but we know that his doom is sure. He has been defeated. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. We know the truth. May we stand in it. Too many times we often become our own worst enemies. We don't stand firm in the truth that we know. We waver in it. We compromise. The same can be true with righteousness. Instead of making sure that that breastplate of righteousness is in place, we compromise and we allow sin to take root, and we think that almost is good enough. Why are Christians too many times on the defensive instead of on the offensive in this battle? We have the truth. Lies are not stronger than the truth. We have Christ's righteousness and the ability, because of that indwelling gift of the Holy Spirit within us, that deposit, that guarantee of what is to come, we now have power to strive in holiness. We have been given much. Why do we allow ourselves to be defeated? Why are we fleeing like the wicked instead of standing firm? And we're all susceptible to sin. We know that. Remember, I've already told you in our passage, we read those words, stand, withstand, stand firm, and stand. It's just mentioned in a couple of verses. Four times we are reminded that we need to stand to take actions. Stand, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth and having put on the breastplate of righteousness. We stand with these pieces of armor on. Truth and righteousness, fasten on the truth. Put on that breastplate. Don't allow yourself to be defeated by the enemy when God has given you his armor. And we can rejoice because we have been changed. We are not those who shrink back and are destroyed, but those who stand firm. 2 Corinthians 5:17 reminds us, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." What a joy. We are new creations in Christ. Before, we were dead in our sins. We were bound in our sin. We were trapped. Now we have been set free. Now we have power that's been given by God. Now we are new. Let us live like we are new creations in Christ. Let us live different lives that others may see that. We are to be salt and light in a darkened world. We are to live with a hope that is so noticeable that people may ask us about it. What makes you different? Why are you able to stand in the midst of everything that's going on in our world today? Everything that's going on in our culture. Why are you able to stand? How are you able to withstand in the evil day? If you are a new creation in Christ, you can live a holy life. If you are a new creation in Christ, you can live a holy life. Paul often in his letters contrasts the old with the new. And we have to be reminded because there is that struggle, there is that battle within us. Paul says, you used to be these things, but now you have changed. You used to live by the flesh, but now live according to the Spirit. Put on the whole armor of God. Stand. Don't give in. Live a righteous life. Be holy as He is holy. 1 Peter 1, verses 13 through 16. Therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, but as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, since it is written, "You shall be holy, for I am holy." As obedient children, be holy. Stand your ground. Make sure that you have truth. Make sure that you have righteousness. Make sure that those first two pieces of armor are fully in place. What is keeping you this night from living a holy life? What is keeping you this night from living a holy life? That may seem like an obvious question. It's my sinfulness that keeps me from living a holy life, that keeps me from living a righteous life. I realize my own unrighteousness. I deal with that each and every day when I'm tempted to sin. And we don't want to trade our recognition of sin and the reality of sin for pride. We don't want to simply dismiss sin. But I am not as holy as I am called to be many times because I'm not actively seeking to put to death my flesh and my sinful behaviors. I tend to fall into those same old sins over and over again. And I would imagine you do as well. Let us pray that we would love God more than we do our sin. Let us pray that by God's strength, we could have that armor in place so that we could fight. So that we could stand. So that we could wage war against sin and the effects of the enemy on our lives. You see, the devil doesn't have to get you to turn your heart completely away from Christ. You and I can be defeated by the sin that we face. We have to be resilient. We have to continue to fight every single day, not in our strength, but in His. The enemy wants you and I to feel defeated. He wants us to be caught, stuck in sin, thinking there's no way out. I'm just going to always be this way, thinking we're not worthy. And we are not worthy of God's grace. That's why it's grace. But the more we focus on righteousness, the more we may see the sin that is within us. That's often true. The more we seek to follow God and we seek to follow His Word, the more we see areas in our own lives that need our attention, that need work. The more we see our sin and we need to repent. But may that encourage us to continue on in the fight. Usually the one who has given up is the one who simply gets discouraged to the point where they no longer stand or they just give in to temptation when it comes. We may get discouraged, and we will constantly battle temptation. Let us pray for one another that we might be able to stand against it. That we would have this armor in place so that we could fend off the attacks of the enemy. Are we looking out for one another in this battle that we're in? Are we looking out for one another in the body of Christ? One of the silliest ad campaigns that I can remember is when the army started using that slogan, an army of one. Excuse me, by definition, an army is not one, but it's cool to think I can do it all on my own. In this spiritual battle, we are not alone. God is with us. He fights for us. He gives us armor. He gives us strength and stamina. But we also have each other in the body of Christ. Onward, Christian soldiers, plural, marching as to war. We're to look out for one another. Are you struggling with truth? Maybe I can help you. Am I struggling with righteousness? Maybe you can lovingly help me in areas where I struggle with my sin. You've heard me say before that it's loving for us to go and to speak the truth in love to help one another in our sin. To leave a fellow Christian stuck in sin is not loving but hateful. I see that your breastplate of righteousness is not in place. Can I help you make sure that it's firmly secured in your life so that you can fight, so that you can stand? Can I help you? Romans 12, verses 1 and 2 says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your minds. We know that our minds need renewed. The world plays havoc on our minds. The world wants to brainwash us into its way of thinking, and we know that sin begins in the mind. James 1, verses 13 through 15. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. The desire, when it is conceived, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. His own desire within. 1 Thessalonians 5:22 says, abstain from every form of evil. Other translations there say, avoid all appearances of evil. We must not just reject or renounce sin, but we must embrace the opposite of that. Embrace the truth. It's not just a matter of refraining from murder, but to embrace and protect and to preserve life. It's not just avoid idolatry, but actively worship God in spirit and in truth. Are we seeking not just to refrain ourselves from sin, but to do the opposite, to live holy, righteous lives in Christ? In this war, we need to put on this breastplate of righteousness in both ways, as I've discussed. We rest in the righteousness of Jesus Christ alone. We're not righteous in and of ourselves. It's His righteousness that's imputed to us that allows us to stand as righteous before God and not face His wrath and His judgment for our sins. But as followers of Christ, as believers in Christ, who have been redeemed, who have had that righteousness of Christ imputed to us, we are called to live holy lives. We are called to work in our sanctification. We are created for good works. We are His workmanship, and that takes effort on our parts. Put on your breastplate. Make sure that it's firmly, securely in place in your life, because the enemy will not relent. The enemy is still out there. The enemy is still fighting. And we need the truth and we need righteousness. This battle is not easy. And as we go slowly through these pieces of armor, do not forget the other things that are mentioned. We're looking at this passage as a whole, verses 10 through 20. There are six pieces of armor, and we're also looking at it in smaller chunks as we memorize these verses. But let us not forget the other things that are mentioned. do not think, you know, I can worry about faith and those other things later. No, they all go together. All of these pieces of armor fit together. God has given us armor to cover all of our bodies, figuratively speaking, to make sure we have all of the pieces in place so that we're not caught unawares. Let us stand. Let us go forth with a renewed commitment to righteousness this life, this night, knowing that we will fall short of perfection, but striving as we've been commanded to do, and doing it all for the glory of God. Would you please join me in prayer tonight? Father, once again, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for your truth, and now tonight we thank you for that breastplate of righteousness, your righteousness, which you bestow upon us. This is your armor. We stand in your strength and not in our own. We know that even our striving is feeble, and yet you have given us your spirit. You have given us the Holy Spirit within our lives that we can combat sin, that we do have power to stand and resist the devil, and your word promises that he will flee. Help us to stand in truth and righteousness, we pray in Jesus' name.